Before we begin, are there any announcements for the life and work of our hybrid congregation? I know that bell ringing has resumed on Wednesdays. This week, Bible study will be hybrid, so I've got a special mic to let some people be here and everyone else be on Zoom. Barbara Fadley, lay it on us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very glad to see everyone here. I just wanted to let you know that since we're not passing the offering plate, there is a purple box back at the end of the center aisle that you can put your offerings in. And in the back of the green card, there is also a way that you can give to the church. And thank you for all your time, talent, and monetary during this time of isolation we've had.
So week two of our hybrid efforts, here's how it's going to work this week. A little bit of changes from last week. We're still going to stick to this microphone, so no wandering preacher. You can still see that the Zoomies are here and the Pewies are here, with everyone being able to see each other more or less. Pastor Hannah is staffing the Zoom, so she'll be able to pick up on what people are sharing there, including the prayers. So for prayers today, and I will come to you instead of doing the written version that we did last week. I know that this is not ideal. I know that it has been frustrating, particularly maybe for the Zoomies. But how blessed are we to have had so many people step up to try to make this work so that we can be an embodied body of Christ as well as a virtual body of Christ. All hands are welcome to help, and all hearts are cherished here. We'll begin our worship with the ringing of a memorial bell. Zoomies, is this better? We got an SOS from you. All right. They just gave up. They've already left. So it's down to us. Good. So we begin our tradition of worship, which is this practice of what is it to be a seeker of God through the way of Christ. So worship isn't a performance. Worship isn't set in stone. It's an opportunity to practice how we're going to live our lives outside of this space. And one of the most ancient practices is passing the peace, which traditionally came from the need to show that people were not carrying weapons. Because when you open your arms in peace, when you show your hand in peace, you show you're not carrying a sword. But today and days lately, it's been hard for me, I don't know about you, to find peace. To remember that Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I live with you, I leave with you. So let's take a moment wherever we are to take a few breaths. And then as you're so moved, turn to each other where you are standing and offer some peace. Zoomies, do so over the chat. Take a few breaths. And let us pass whatever peace we're able to find this day. The refrain for our opening prayer is, it is good. So I will offer a word of prayer and point to you, and you will say with all your heart as best you can, it is good. The clear blue sky, it is good. The ocean's deep trenches, it is good. The Arctic tern's flight, it is good. The cattle's lowing, it is good. The dung beetle's collecting, it is good. The murder hornet's flight, it is good. The beating of our hearts, it is good. And the planet we share, it is good. Pastor Hannah, we went out of order, so if you want to, it's kid time now. Just imagine all of our little muffins running forward as soon as they're vaccinated. It's thousands of them that go to this church, truly.
Okay. Well, next week we have something fun, so hopefully they'll be on Zoom. Okay, Tom is working, and apparently the Zoom sound, it's staticky and it's going in and out. So if they can hear me, we're working on it, and hopefully by the end of worship today, we'll get it sorted out. So this morning I brought with me some Oreos, which are mint flavored. I don't know if anyone's a mint fan, but this is something in our kitchen that is constantly a temptation for me. Maybe not the Oreos, but having three kids at home, we often have lots of sweets and processed sugar around the kitchen. And so it's easy for me when I get home to want to walk in and just snack a little before I would eat dinner or snack after dinner all the way up until bedtime. And the temptation of the sugar in our house reminds me of our scripture that Leah's going to read today about the first temptation noted in the Bible. And sometimes I hang on to the guilt of the temptation, but then, you know, I realize there's so much more in life than worrying about these things, and that sometimes we can turn the temptation around. We can be tempted to offer goodness to someone that maybe we don't feel like we really want to be kind to, right? Or we can be tempted to show an act of kindness towards someone that maybe we haven't thought about before. We can think about all the good things that God has done for us, that it all comes from God, and how do we turn that temptation to show kindness and goodness to others? So, will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, I give you thanks for the things that are tempting us, whether it tastes good or makes us feel good, but ultimately help us remember that all the things put before us in our life are choices and goodness and things that we can enjoy because they come from you. And all God's kids say, amen.
Right, toodle. I invite everyone here and on Zoom to read along in your Bible or close your eyes and take in the story. Today I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 through 24 and chapter 2 verse 7. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, tehom, and the darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made a dome, and it separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth pull forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on the earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. Then the Lord God formed human, Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And the human became a living being.
Thank you, Leah. So much about the last, yeah, PH? I'm game. You guys game for us to do a little pause here? Liturgical pause? Sure. Hey, I'm going to turn this computer off too. Does anyone want to provide IT support in coming services? Think about it.
No, where is the desk going to be? I'm so sorry.
Let's make Pastor Hannah stand here.
No. And hold it?
Here, let's move the Christ candle.
Okay. I mean, I would do that for you. Other duties.
Hello, beloved. Oh, I got a thumbs up from John Beatty.
Oh, Hannah's voice is clear. Well, thank you, Nancy.
So much of these last 18 months have been just like this. Just when you get present somewhere, just when you get in your groove, just when you think you know what's going to happen. So much of these last 18 months have been about what we can't do. How many of you have been kept from seeing someone you love? How many of you have not been able to have a funeral of someone you love? How many of you have not been able to work, not been able to get to work, not been able to see people, not been able to get the ding-dong internet to work? But as I sat here this morning and seeing some of you for the first time in a year and a half, and listening to Leah offer this oldest, most ancient portion of our scripture, which are stories, our special stories, I was so moved to know that even before a virus like this, even before the disasters in Afghanistan today, even before the latest earthquake in Haiti, for millennia, with no technology, people have gathered around these stories and asked God what to do. And this congregation, in a myriad of ways, have continued to gather around these strange, difficult, heartfelt, compelling human stories about our relationship with God, and that has meant the world to me. Thank you. The end. No, just kidding. Okay. So, I was especially excited to study this passage today, this passage, this very beginning of Genesis. Genesis is not, it never proposes or supposed to be a biological textbook. It's not an astrophysical journal. It's not a geology textbook. Genesis is never intended to describe the mechanical process of evolution. Genesis is a theological imagining of the location and the presence of the divine in the emergence of life. Genesis is a theological imagining of, we wonder what the presence of the divine was like in the emergence of life. And what was the refrain that we heard over and over again in this first chapter of Genesis? It's good. It's good. Over and over, as all these creatures of creation emerge, we keep hearing it's good. And for me right now, it feels good to think about us and the nematodes and the magma all being part of this original goodness. Because that's not much of a story that we get these days about humanity. We have to work real hard, I think, to find stories of goodness about humanity. What are some of the headlines that hit you this morning about people? So yeah, Afghanistan is collapsing once again. Devastating bloodshed because of the choices of human beings. What's another headline that hit you today? COVID in the South is bad. And we know that human behavior has a lot to do with viral behavior. How do those kinds of stories make you feel about people? Maybe not so awesome. Terry, what'd you say? Not good. You know, we, as Christians, we're taught, you know, and this comes from the Hebrew tradition, we're supposed to love God with all our hearts and our neighbors as ourselves, but boy howdy, has that ever been tested more than today? Maybe not for us as white people who can afford to be here on a Sunday morning, but it's hard. When I get into the news, when I look at how my daily life is structured now, sometimes I experience what liberation theologian Ivan Petrella called gigantism. Gigantism. He said that very often, particularly with Christians in the Northern Hemisphere, when we realize the way that most human beings have to live in the world, we get so overwhelmed by the enormity of it, how gigantic the trouble is, that we shut down. We just shut down. Which is part of our privilege to do. And I experience that, which is part of why I love Genesis so much. It gives me hope. It gives me a way out of that no way of gigantism. So there's a lot we can talk about in this first chapter, in that little verse in the second chapter that Leah read, but I want to focus on two elements, time and relationality. How did you hear time described in this section? Yeah, in and out in a week. God's got it handled. Series of days. How many of you have had fights in your head or with other human beings about this framing of creation taking a week? Bob, how did that go? Classic. So what, for Zoomies, what Bob described is rejecting this as a kid, and that his Catholic priest said, well, God's days are different than our days. So some of you have heard this before. The fight with my mom was, where are the dinosaurs? This is all a lie. Like, this does not make any sense. And she said something similar. It's a metaphor. Okay. Okay. As an adult, I think I'm more comfortable with that, a lot more. But what I'm interested in this element of time today is how this story presents God taking time. This story presents holiness as taking time, perhaps the divine even needing time. So we're not offered a picture of God snapping God's fingers and all of a sudden all the world is there. Not God, whoop, there's the earth. But a slow unfurling of time. A slow unfurling of creation and life over time. Life, our faith ancestors want us to know, takes time, which is a very different message than the kind of compact, crushed, high-pressure world we live in now where there's never enough time. No one wants us to slow down. People want us to find more ways to do more things with what little time we have. The Genesis invitation seems a little bit different. Perhaps it's inviting us to reorient ourselves toward the cycles of time. There is evening, there is morning. There's noon, there's dusk, there's dawn. There's evening, there was morning. And maybe in some kind of reorientation toward time, a new kind of goodness can emerge. Genesis here also talks a lot about relationships or relationality in life. So a big question mark for astronomers and theologians alike is, what was before, what is now? What is before, what is now? I know there's this just very cool new space telescope that's going far away that will be able to let us see even further back in time to the beginnings of the universe, but we still have this big question mark about what was before, what is now? Because whatever was before, what is now? In its energy, in its effects, in its movement, managed to differentiate into wood, into Charles, into glass, into air, but also remain interconnected. Can you think of anything, think of two things on the planet that are completely different, but somehow interconnected, that still affect each other, that still move each other in some way? How about our cars and the Amazon jungle? So the emissions from our cars affect the jungle on a different continent, a jungle that's being cut down at a rapid rate to accommodate human housing and beef production. You know, the fungus and the fish are completely different, but a mass insult to one will create wounds in the other. There is nowhere we can go on this planet, nowhere anything can go or be on this planet where it does not touch some other part of the planet in some other way. Even if it is an inanimate, an apparently inanimate, because we haven't figured out yet how it moves. Even those are all touching each other. Water touches rock, the melting ice caps will raise the water levels in New York. Everything is interconnected. And our Genesis authors, this Genesis community, I think told that most pointedly. They acknowledged that most pointedly without being climate scientists in that one line about the formation of humanity. At least in the first version, right? We've got two versions of Genesis. They don't agree. Excellent. A reminder not to try to not make the Bible perfect. In this first version, God takes soil, God forms it, and God offers it God's own breath, the Ruach, the breath of life. And there we are, Adam, humanity. Not Adam, not some dude with very specific genitalia and reproductive organs, but Adam, humanity, all one, all together, of the soil, taking in the holy air. In the beginning, we were replete with the regenerative powers of the worms of the soil, cooperating with the trees and the algae on the cycle of oxygen and carbon. And we still are. And we still are. No matter how much our current iteration of human society tries to keep us distant from bacteria and bats, they're here, everybody. We know. The bats are here. We're still connected. We are still intimately connected. Look at how much one virus, just one virus, has so radically changed how we live our lives. Just one virus has so changed our lives, and we can't even see the thing. So Genesis suggests we can have a different relationship to time than the world we've made does. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Oh, to have the choir again, it will happen someday. But Genesis suggests, too, that perhaps we see this earth not as dumb, mute tools, resources for our consumption, for our use, but our living and breathing siblings of creation. All of it. There's a hawk that likes to kill pigeons on our land here and then eat them under this tree. It's one of the things you see if you're here during the week. There's usually a dead pigeon on there, half eaten by a hawk, one of our siblings in creation. Maybe that's why the Genesis community put the Adam, put the humanity last. You know, we're the last thing made in this first account. Maybe we're last not because we are the penultimate expression of divine imaging. Maybe not because we're the best God could create, but because we're the most dependent. We are the part of creation most dependent on all of the other parts and their wisdom that came before us. So I've lifted up any number of bummer topics that we're living through, situations, difficult situations. You lifted up some too. And the temptation, besides mint Oreos, if you bring snacks, you're supposed to bring enough for everyone, Pastor Hannah. The temptation for, I think, any pastor, any preacher is to give you guys answers, to give you some answers, to offer a final interpretation of the word and the world for you to take out and feel confident about. Tell you, if you do this, you're going to be this. If we are like this, we will experience this. But that is a commodification of faith. That's a commodification of spirituality, to try to offer you a product, to offer you a show. And that's not what our story does. Our story doesn't offer us answers. It offers us means. It offers us ways. Because in the beginning, not only do we not have God snapping God's fingers and Shazam the planet, we don't even have a reflection of God. Our faith ancestors didn't even imagine a holiness that said, ah, here is my vision, this is how it shall be in its sum total, and this is how it shall be for all time, my grand plan, amen. The one time you would think they would be most invested in giving us an all-powerful God, they do not. They don't. They give us holiness, unfurling life. Holiness, unfurling life in a network, in a web of interconnectedness over time. No grand plan laid out. No expectation for how it might go. Just this generous offering of the world for us to live into together. A way for us then might be to make time our partner rather than a source of pressure, and to attend to the movements of our siblings on creation, to not try to solve all problems perfectly right now and so cling to the outcome and to the answer that we sacrifice either time or another part of creation, which I know might not feel substantial enough this morning, which I know might not feel enough, like enough. Okay, Pastor Eileen, I'm going to go think about mornings and afternoons differently and try to hear what my rock is saying. Thank you. I have to go to the grocery store. I want some answers. I want some answers about this world. I want some answers about how I'm supposed to live in it and survive in it. I'm real worried about my nibblings, my nieces and my nephews. I'm real worried about your grandkids. I am terrified for the future. I want answers. I am fried. This has been exhausting. And I know you're tired too, frightened, angry, apathetic. What else? Bored. Frustrated. Yeah, frustrated. Thank you, Jan. That's a generous way to put it, Liz. Puzzled about why people are making the choices they are around the vaccine. I know that we are making everyday choices that we couldn't have even imagined 18 months ago. You know, pandemics were a thing of the past. 1918, that was a different century. We're constantly having to make decisions and witness the decisions of others that we could not have imagined. And we are at a pivotal moment in our response to white supremacy, transphobia, poverty, climate collapse. We are living through multiple disasters of biblical proportions all at once. At least in the Bible, Noah got one at a time. We're getting them all at once. But we still have our portion, each of us. Each of us still has our portion of goodness. Each of us still has our portion of original goodness. And so does the rest of creation. So maybe in response to our troubles, for the sake of our troubles, we stop jumping to solutions and go back to our beginnings. Slow in our time, connected to creation. Maybe this week, our spiritual practice could be to touch some dirt. Which might sound super woo-woo. What did Pastor Eileen do during her sabbatical? But I mean it. In the evening or in the morning, sometime this week, find some soil. Put your hand on it, get your fingers in it, and breathe deeply 3 times. One for birthing, one for dying, one for living again. For that moment of intimate terrestrial contact, be grounded not in the deadlines of work, the news alerts on your phone, not grounded in the pain of your bank account, the pain in your lungs, but grounded tangibly with the earth from which we all come. Do so not expecting how you might feel or what you might think. Simply do it. Perhaps pausing only to remember that the substance you touch is as ancient as that first day. The substance you touch is as ancient as that first day, and so are all of our component parts, carbon, water. In that ancientness, in that deep time that we are living in and as, there is God, and there is God's wisdom. There is God, and there is God's wisdom. In the evening, in the morning, reclaim your time, acknowledge our connectedness, and then maybe what follows individually and collectively will once again be called good. Let all God's children say amen. Zoomies, how are you holding up? Oh, getting thumbs up, so they're doing okay. Well, Sunny, would you play some music for us before we do the prayers? Okay, thanks. Sonny's going to sing.
Grounded in God's wisdom and God's love, we can all find God's peace. Peace be to you in all you do. Peace be the way in all you say. Peace be the light that shines so bright from your heart on this world today. Peace be the song that we will sing. Peace be the joy our spirits bring. Peace be the love that sets us free. Peace for you, peace for you and me. Peace, 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 peace. Peace be in you, in all you do. Peace, 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 peace. Peace be in you, in all you do.
So our tradition before this one little virus was to be together in this central space, and we would pass the microphone for you to lift up your joys and concerns, and then I would pray them all together. Today what we'll do is I'll come to you, no microphone. I will end up sharing what you offered up when I do the full prayer, so you might not be able to hear each other in the pews. Zoomies, you won't be able to hear, but Zoomies, if you could put your prayers in the chat, I will be able to incorporate them into the larger prayer. So I'm going to come to you, raise your hand if you've got a joy or a worry to share today.
Okay, so here are the prayers from the Zoomies. Nancy Dunn would like prayers of thanks to those that worked to get the sound working this morning on their end. Tranquility had an emergency procedure done yesterday. It's nothing too serious. Thankfully, she caught it before it got too bad and is on antibiotics. Debbie Barr would like prayers for the children who are going back to school. Cornelia Flora would like prayers for Jan's brother Vaughn and her sister Gina, who are both still suffering from an undiagnosed illness. Nancy Dunn would also like prayers for her child Aiden, who found out on Friday that their application for disability was denied. Linda Hansen would like prayers of gratitude that Lindsay got her cast on and can start walking again. That's huge. And the Hansons will be coming back to the U.S. for a visit on Friday, so she did not say this, but prayers, obviously, for safe travels.
Let us find a posture, an awareness, and an openness to prayer. Holy God, in the beginning, you were us and we were you, and there was no conversation, because we simply were. Let us, when we pause in our days in these ways, remember that we still are. That whether we lift these prayers up out loud or in community, they are still known to you because you still breathe through us. We give thanks, though, to be able to pray in community, to share our loads, and to lift up our joys even higher because we come together through you and in you. We pray today for the whole of our earth, all of the component parts that make us up, some of which today are suffering quite badly. The people in Afghanistan, the people in Haiti, the people who are on ICUs, and the people who have cared for our loved ones on COVID wards for far too long. We pray, O God, that we do not become so overwhelmed by the needs of the world that we shut down and care only for ourselves, but find in our collective unity, our collective breathing, some creativity, some hope, some new generative avenues of change. We pray today for our children who are returning to school without vaccines, with a lot of tension among parents and educators alike. We pray too for those parents, guardians, grandparents, foster parents, for all school staff, for teachers, for our schools to become such a hotbed of animosity and anger rather than education. Transformation and formation is hard to witness. So let us not only be witnesses, but active in the protection of our kids and the creation of a world that they will continue to live in. We pray for those, O God, who are in need of healing of body, of mind, of spirit, for those living with depression, with addiction, with HIV/AIDS, with COVID, those who are every day burdened with the wounds of racism and homophobia, with less pay because of how they were born or where they were born. We pray today for healing for Jan Flores' siblings, for tranquility, for Jim, ongoing healing for Lindsay, good news for Krista in her testing. We pray today for those who have had to delay their treatments because of the COVID wards being full to overflowing. And we pray, O God, for strength and patience as we rehab all of our bodies that have been so strained by stress hormones, by sitting still, possibly by poor nutrition and return to unhealthy coping practices. Give us strength. Give us self-compassion, O God. We pray today, too, for Aiden, whose disability case was denied, and yet who continues to live with pain and complications that make working and daily life difficult. We celebrate today, though, oh God, we celebrate today, oh God, that, hey, we found a way to get the sound to work again. We celebrate that the Hansons will be back. They have traveling mercies on their return from Honduras, bringing us good news of God's work in a world that is profoundly different than the one we live in, and yet of the same world. We give thanks for families that continue to stay connected, that continue to love each other, and that continue to demonstrate to us that there is new life yet to be born. And we celebrate all caregivers, the caregivers in this church, the caregivers in our lives, and the caregiving we offer ourselves. Lastly, O God, we celebrate Barbara and Laverne and their 53-year walk together. Gracious and merciful God, God of all creation, even us, the most dependent of all, we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus, who invites all doubters and seekers alike to pray together. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Sunny? Life is still unfurling. Time is still moving through its cycles. Goodness yet streams throughout. Go from this place to greet creation. Even in this place, you can greet part of creation. Yareli has a new service dog named Harvard who is super sweet and could use some more people time. But go from this place, touching some soil, touching all of our souls. And let all God's children say, amen. You're welcome to stay after for our time of integration. This is something new we started doing over the Zooms, where we just talked about what sat with us, what didn't we like, what did we like, what else did we get, or not. Well, I'll stay on the Zooms for the Zoomies who'd like to, and you're welcome to remain here, or go forth, get a mint Oreo. I just volunteered that, pet the dog, and have a good day, everyone. Thank you.